listen closely, you may notice that Mishki takes great license with some of the details surrounding the news of the day. Listen at your own amusement. Thank you.
And St. Paul. It's Mishki.
Just kill it. Some days the music's nice there in the background. Some days you want it dead. It's pulling in here, folks. Bear with me. Some days you come in and you feel old. You feel like you've been maybe doing this a little too long. Other days you don't. Bet you can guess what kind of day this one is. All right. That's a doggone good suitcase there. Whatever it is, I guess it's a briefcase. I don't put briefs in it or suits. I ought to come up with a different name. It's a radio case. My radio stuff's in there. This is a headset. I don't like it very much. Everybody else here has a nice one, but they own it, and they take it home with them. I'd buy one, but I was indoctrinated. I was indoctrinated by the blind man. I think if I ever bought my own headset, he was not going to allow me onto the show anymore, so he convinced me it was dorky, and I've never owned one ever since. So I wear whatever's sitting here and put it on, and it doesn't feel very good. That's why people have their own. That's a toughie. Catch-22 situation. Don't know what to do. Yeah, I hate the way this feels. Yeah. I don't even know why I have it on right now. What do I think, I'm an air traffic controller? Well, why would I have this on? Who am I talking to? No caller. I don't have a producer talking to me. Why am I wearing this? The hell with it. I don't like it. I don't have to wear it. Okay, what do we have here? Here we go. I don't know what to talk about. Got a letter I want to read in the 6 o'clock hour that I received from a woman. A sad letter. And I'm going to pass it along to you folks, see if you have any ideas. Other than that, there's really nothing going on today. I don't know. Maybe I should read the letter now, huh? Maybe I'll read the letter now. Maybe that's what's bringing me down. Maybe it's the letter. Could be the letter. Maybe I should get this off my chest now. Yeah, I think I'll do that. Dear Tommy, I need some help, and apparently I have no more pride left as I'm writing to a talk show host who doesn't know me from Eve. I did meet you one time at the Sean Hannity KSTP event. I'm also the one who called your show a while ago and talked to you about shock treatments being a good experience for me, relatively speaking. By most people's standards, it would have been torture. But in the shape I was in, it was actually a step up for me. Anyway, I will make the really pathetic part of this email as short as possible. Sexually abused as a kid, quit drinking 30 years ago as I thought I was an alcoholic, went for help, was abused by my therapist, had a psychotic breakup, in and out of hospitals over the last 3 decades, worked the whole time at assorted rotten jobs to survive. My family of origin would have nothing to do with me. It was torture, Tommy, each and every minute of each and every day, for many years. Finally, I gave up. Somebody in AA had mercy on me and took me to Golden Valley Health Center. That's where I had the shock treatments. They scrambled my brain enough to where I was so confused that I wasn't in as much pain anymore. They signed me up for a halfway house, Northwest Residence on Franklin, a couple blocks east of Nicollet in Minneapolis. Met my husband there, and we've been making each other laugh and making each other survive ever since. We lived in subsidized housing. I worked selling ads for the Edge newspaper. Anyway, this mess all began 29 years ago, and I've been struggling to be normal ever since. I've been on lots of psychotropic medication, and here comes the most pathetic part. To me, a 57-year-old, formerly pretty woman, for me, it's tough to see this happen. The medications I took caused dry mouth that resulted in all of my teeth needing to be pulled, but my dentist said I can't wear dentures. I thus have to get implants, which, of course, cost a fair amount of money, $10,000 to be exact. I have lived through a lot, Tommy, but I just can't foresee living through having no teeth at all. My dad and two of my sisters are actually millionaires. They don't want to help me. I was so ashamed to ask for money, but I finally did, and let's just say it didn't go well. I'm not making any of this up, though it sounds like some kind of David Lynch movie. My illness prevents me from working a real job. I call it depression for the layperson, but it's dissociative disorder. It should be called an injury, not really an illness. If you get hit by a car and wreck your back, they don't call it an illness. Well, my mental illness was caused by abuse, Tommy. I still get a little money from disability. My husband delivers all the various little newspapers around, the monthlies, the weeklies, to various sites in the metro area. Makes very little money. But except for this complete lack of teeth, we're fine. Up until I made the appointment to get the teeth pulled, I was too ashamed to even talk about it with friends. Seems almost more shameful than I used to feel about my mental illness. So I'm really sinking low here to tell this to someone I hardly know, or more accurately, who hardly knows me. What I'm asking, Tommy, is if you have any ideas about raising funds for a worthy cause. I'm a worthy cause. I really am. I started a rape center at the Harriet Tubman Battered Women's Shelter back in the day. Of good heart, I contribute, but I just don't think I can make it without the teeth. Maybe there could be some kind of a fundraiser called Put Your Money Where Her Mouth Is. I don't know. Do you have any ideas? I won't reveal the name, but I'll throw that out there for this reason. There's a possibility that someone listening right now has a way to help this woman. And she's going to reach more people if I read this than she's going to reach if I just look at it at home in my little office. So I'm going to throw it out there. Because every now and then, there's someone who either has a bright idea or has a lot of money and wants to actually watch it do something where they can see the results, where they can actually sort of have a way to follow it, track it, and a way to feel that their money went to something that really made a pretty profound difference. So I'm going to throw it out there. If anybody has any ideas, you know where I am. I do know the story is legit. I checked into it enough to know that. And I actually remember this woman from the Sean Hannity talk over at O'Shaughnessy Auditorium. So I do know a little about her. And I do know she works for the Edge. Well, okay. Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, put me down for 20.
All right. Hang on a second. Jack.
Hey, Tommy, how you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. Hey, you know, I feel for this lady. Read that, you know, listened to you read that letter. You know, I think we all fight our little depressions every day, and they go through it, too. But, you know, I was part of some local service clubs, like the Rotary. That might be an option for her. The local Lions clubs. I mean, these places raise money. They've got funds. They like to help people locally as much as they can.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just trying to think of some options, and that just popped in my head, and I think that could help.
Well, what are these organizations? I guess I'm unfamiliar with them. I think of them as groups from yesteryear. I just don't hear about them much anymore. Who's still out there?
Well, I spent about 5 years with a local Rotary Club.
A local Rotary Club. I got to tell you, you know how long it's been since I've run into anybody who said they're in a local Rotary Club?
Well, you know, unfortunately, that's one of the reasons. They're not as publicized as they probably should be. I think that's why they like to take on some local projects, and this might be one for them to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's Rotary, there's the Rotary International, there's the Lions Club. Now, you got to remember, these are either breakfast clubs or lunch clubs for a bunch of rich guys that sit down and, you know, they pool their money together, and they try to do good things.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's one out in Stillwater. I know there's a Lions Club out there. There's a Rotary Club. I know there's one in White Bear Lake. I know there's several St. Paul Rotary. There's several of them out there.
Okay, I made a few notes on what you said, so I'm scribbling some of this stuff down, and I'll try to follow it up. Thanks, Jack.
Hey, anytime.
All right.
Thanks, Tommy.
Bye-bye. Hello.
Hey, Tommy, I got an idea.
Go ahead.
I'm a member of a local fire department, and a lot of times we get letters. You know, most of your charitable gambling is done, your pull tabs and stuff are done by fire departments.
Okay.
It's specifically for charitable, it's called charitable gambling. I would suggest maybe she write her local fire department and tell her the story. They'll put it up through a vote.
Really?
And that's a lot of times she could get money that way.
That's how it's done. They get suggestions from people and then they put it up for a vote in the firehouse.
Yep, and put it up for a vote in the firehouse. And if there's enough money and if they can make it work, a lot of times, she can get some money from them.
Well, that's a good idea. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yep, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I didn't know that's how that worked. Hello, Jesse.
Tommy, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I actually do some dental work out of my house. I'm a lab tech.
You do dental work out of your house?
Yeah, I make teeth.
Huh.
And every once in a while, I'll get a case through an organization called Minnesota Donated Dental Services.
Yeah.
And it's charity work, but you might want to be able to maybe get some more information. Maybe.
Yeah, there was something about at the end where she said she had, let's see, I am seeking funding from a variety of sources. I'm on a list called Donated Dental Services for people with disabilities who don't have the money to treat dental stuff. Apparently, that's a pretty long list.
Okay.
I went to the U of M Dental School, but they don't have any sliding scale for implants, just for other dental work, so I was out of luck there. Let's see. Anyway, so some things she's been trying that she's been striking out on. But
that's exactly what I was talking about, that same program.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And then when they send you work, you do that pro bono, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of you.
Yeah, it's not a lot. You know, I do a few cases every year, but I figure it's least I can do, you know.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you do that. Thanks.
Sure, you got to. Have a good day.
You too, Jesse. Hello, Nancy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I just listened to the last two callers, and quite frankly, I'm doing some fundraising myself these days. I just started a few months ago for an organization I work for. But what I was going to say is that maybe what you should do is actually just ask, like maybe ask a couple of the dental places that do implants, if she can get some funding from the Lions Club or the Rotary, one of those other places, approach a place, because that's what I found out that works for me, is you just absolutely ask and see what they can do for you. And maybe if she says to a dental place that does implants, say, you know what, well, I've got about $5,000 here from the Rotary and the Lions, and I'm wondering if you could do this for me for 50%. So okay. It's just a suggestion. It doesn't hurt to ask.
Right. That's a good point. I appreciate that. I'm making a note of that, too. Thanks, Nancy.
Sure. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Hello, Fred.
Yeah. Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
A happy note. This is the merry, merry month of May. Have we had the bells and whistles for Nancy and Vic yet?
Oh, are we coming up on their anniversary? I'll have to ask her.
No, we've gone by it. 5-5.
Oh, it was 5. Sure, it was 5-5-5. That's right. By golly.
Had the bells and whistles.
I think we let it slide by there without making
it. Let's get it in here now. I want a happy note. And
okay.
Let's end it with more of them, too.
How about for a happy note, Fred? We discuss your teeth. Are they still your own?
Yeah, be true to your teeth or they'll be false to you.
Fred, you still have your own teeth?
Yeah, I have most of them. I've had a few of them taken out.
And you're 82?
I'm in my 82nd year. I'm 81, Tommy.
81, and you're hoping to slide by here without ever having a need for dentures.
Well, that's the good Lord willing, Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, why bother? You might even say, if in the next couple of years you do lose all your teeth, you may say, yogurt ain't the end of the world.
No, I mean, falsies aren't not the end of the world, except
right.
in the spiritual sense.
But you might not even bother getting them. You might say, I don't want to go through all that. You might not even bother getting them.
I may not, but I know my mother had her few teeth on the bottom and the middle that were left, and when she'd eat nuts, she'd have to take the nut and push it down with her fingers on those few teeth that she had left, and they didn't have the dental care available at that time that they have today.
Huh. Okay, well, but you better get your song in because I got to go to a commercial.
Let's get the happy anniversary and say it's ended up with many more of them too. Okay.
Well, go ahead. I'm waiting.
Okay.
I don't know the song.
Bells and whistles.
Well, which ones for happy anniversary? I don't have bells and whistles.
Well, bells and whistles, birthday, anniversary, anything. Come on, blow something there.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Nancy and Vic. Many more of them, too.
If I'm going to play the drums, you could at least try and follow the beat. All right, thank you, Fred.
Very good, Tommy.
God
have
bless.
A good evening now. You, thank you.
You
God
too.
Bless.
Mishki, in the nighttime, on AM 1500 KSTP.
Well,
AM 1500 KSTP.
Just because Angie interrupts Rookie doesn't mean you're allowed in here. French, don't have a word for four. Kenny Olson is standing by.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Kenny. It's a beautiful day out there, and I assume because of that, people are especially nice getting out of the way for the other drivers and waving, letting people cut in, and just saying, isn't it great that spring's here? See you at the garden center.
Yeah, that's happening. Right. Tires Plus presents this abbreviated report. Two really important items here. If you're westbound on Highway 62, this never happens, so it's worth a mention here. It jams right around 169, runs 20 minutes over to 494, and huge levels over over on the east side for North 35E, it slows at St. Clair, runs 25 minutes up to the 694 weave. Name brands at low prices today and every day. And don't miss the great May 10th event.
To be fine for decades, but I've noticed that a lot. Who the Rainbow does low prices? Now these guys low. Someone's going to all of a sudden low them. They're going to be even better.
Yeah, I've got to go.
I hate those ads where they say, you know, for the older men, where they say, if you have trouble going, grown men, they show them on TV at night. Do you have trouble going? Dear Lord. All right, KS2.
ABC News. I'm Bill Gross.
68 right now at the talk station, and back to more Mishki.
Mishki.
My name's Mishki. You're going to remember that name, or you're going to get yourself another radio show you follow. Taylor was profoundly affected by the sting as a young boy. Just profoundly affected. Name's Lonergan. You're going to remember that name. You're going to get yourself another poker game. We're never as affected again in life as we are by the movies we see in adolescence. And I'm not making that up. That you can find that in all sorts of studies. Those movies you see in adolescence, no film the rest of your life will affect you as powerfully. Inspired by the human cannonball of circus fame, U.S. defense researchers have patented a device to fire police officers, to fire firefighters, to fire special forces into the air, high up into the air, to fire them up five stories high and land them on top of a building. No joke. Inspired by the human cannonball of circus fame. See, these guys probably saw the human cannonball in their adolescence. Never could get it out of their head. Ended up coming up with some sort of defense research money that they used to patent this device to fire cops and firefighters out of a cannon up on top of a five-story building. The device could put a guy on the top of a five-story building in less than 2 seconds, if necessary. They have this thing now. Any volunteers, gentlemen? Time to put one of you on top of that five-story building. Fred? Eric? Stan? Come on. Nobody? Fellas, this thing is inspired by the human cannonball exhibit of American circuses. So who's volunteering? We need to get someone five stories up in about 2 seconds. Carl? Wayne? Eddie? George? Well, I guess those poor souls up there are just going to have to die then, aren't they? Because we couldn't find any human cannonballs for them. What's the matter with you people? Did you think being a cop or a fireman was going to be easy? Well, were you expecting a cakewalk? It's human cannonball time. Time to step up, fellas. Come on. The invention comprises a launch ramp that would be placed on the ground at an angle of about 80 degrees to the building. A person would then sit in a chair attached to the ramp, and compressed air from a cylinder underneath would shoot the chair up the ramp's guide rails. At the top, the chair would come to an instant halt, leaving the person to fly up and over the edge of the roof, hopefully landing safely on top of the building. Sounds good, doesn't it, gentlemen? What could possibly go wrong? I want to see some hands. There are people up on that roof screaming right now. Crying. Pleading. They need some human cannonballs. What? What do you mean you're handing in your resignations? What? Going back to your civilian life. Wait. Chuck, you're not going back to selling floor tile. Chuck, Steve-O, You're going back to that stadium vending gig? We got people screaming up there, Steve-O. Where's your compassion? Come on, boy. Cannonball! Come on, boy! Cannonball! Where are my cannonball people? Come on, cannonball! Gary, cannonball! No?
What happened to people out there? Remember when we used to be the land of the free, home of the brave? Here's a brave woman. 44-year-old woman escaped serious injury from a gunshot yesterday thanks to her thick bra strap. That's a good name for a band, by the way. Anybody looking for a name for a band? I get a lot of letters from young kids saying, Mishki, we're starting a band, need a name. Here's one, thick bra strap. From the Universal Amphitheater, Los Angeles, California, ladies and gentlemen, thick bra strap. Robin Key of Riverview, Florida, was shot through the windshield of her car. She was driving down the road. Must have been a road rage deal. She said she felt a searing pain in her shoulder. A .38 caliber bullet had smashed through the windshield and then bounced off her shoulder thanks to a thick bra strap. They also think that it might have been the seatbelt as well that came over the shoulder there, although that's not very thick. I'm thinking thick bra strap. The copper-jacketed slug landed in her lap. It's a big bullet, but it had some things going against it, said Hillsborough Sheriff Spokesman J.D. Calloway. It's very rare that something like this occurs. Oh, come on, J.D. She's very lucky. We're glad everything worked out. She had on a pretty, well, she had, there was a thick bra strap. Let's just say that. Thick bra strap. May all of you people out there driving, men and women, continue to wear thick bra straps out on the highways. I don't have to traverse the Twin City freeways, metro area freeways. I just, I never go on them. I don't like them. I steer clear of them. I live about a block from here, and I don't get out of St. Paul much, and when I do, I usually just walk to the border, maybe flag a cab at Lake Street or something. So may you all, all of a sudden a Dylan song is coming to me. It's Forever Young. May you always have a tight seatbelt. May your bra strap always be thick. May you steer clear of all road rage, not be shot at by some prick. May your hands always be busy. May your car always be swift. And keep that bra strap. Keep it thick. Keep it thick, people. May your girdle be made of armor. May your curlers be made of steel. May your thighs be like those of hippos, so any pain you barely feel. May attacks be few and infrequent, so you're never up a crick. And may your bra strap, may it be forever thick. Forever! No, don't do it. Don't do it. Ryan?
Yeah?
May your bra strap forever be thick, cowboy. What's on your mind?
Okay, I was at the St. Paul Saints game last night. My mom's Rose, we had the nosebleed suite.
Yeah.
Okay, after we called you, I found the inflatable life jackets under the airplane seats.
Uh-huh. Now, hold on a second. For those who don't know what Ryan's talking about, we give away almost daily on this program tickets to the nosebleed suite, which is the only luxury box at Midway Stadium for the St. Paul Saints. It's above the right center field wall. It's a deck or some. I thought they were all Adirondack chairs, but last night we got a call from one of the winners who was at the Saints game sitting on that deck, and they said there are two Adirondack chairs, but the other two are airplane seats. And that sort of, I don't know, maybe it's the whole United 93 deal, but that sort of creeps me out now. Adirondack chairs I get, but you don't want to be thinking about 9/11 while you're watching a ball game. But I guess a couple of them are airplane seats, and Rose called us, your mama?
Yeah.
And she called and said, She was sitting there on one of the airplane seats, and you reached down and pulled out a flotation device?
Yep.
And what'd you do with that, Ryan?
I put it on, though. I was just talking, and then Bob came over, and he pulled the straps on it, and the CO2 tanks filled it up really fast, and it got stuck on my head.
Who's Bob?
Bob, he's one of my brothers. His twin is Raymond.
That's what brothers are supposed to do. That's what brothers are supposed to do. That'll be a fond memory when you're an old man. Let's hope that's all Bob does, because sometimes brothers do things they regret. I don't know if you know the Cain and Abel story. Ryan?
No, I don't know that story.
Well, Abel had this inflatable life. That's a long story. Thanks, Ryan.
Okay.
We'll be back. Hey, Tommy, and I'm glad they do, because you put them on quite a pedestal, and it'd be embarrassing for you and for them if there was no match between the bilge we hear on your program and what happens at 50th in France and Ford in Cleveland and next to Neiman Marcus in downtown Minneapolis. Well, it all does connect, and here's why it connects, and this is what you really need to know. If you come in there and you're a KSTP listener, well, they have to come through. Now, say you come in and you're a CCO listener. I'm not promising squat, all right? I'm talking to my people here. Hello, KSTP listeners. When I talk about RF Molnar, what's going to happen to you there? And the astonishing level of service. Who was it who called me the other day and said, Mishka, I went in there to get a diamond ring for my gal. I'm going to ask her in June to marry me. First thing they said is, would you like a beer? Hey, Mishka, that's my kind of place. It was a relaxing experience. Well, sure as hell sounds like one. You had a beer. This is a KSTP listener deal. Every now and then someone writes me and says, will I get the same treatment I'm a big fan of that cool 108? And I say, you're on your own, boy. You're on your own. R.F. Moeller.
Now, back to Mishki on AM 1500 KSTP.
Where'd you go, fellas?
Where are the men that I used to sport with?
Hello.
And what has become of my beautiful town? Both my old friends, even you don't know me. Must be the end. My house is tumbled down.
Kind of sad.
My land was rich, but I wouldn't work it.
Well, then you got the
I guess I
coming.
Made a shrew of my wife.
Ouch.
My duty clear, I could always find some way to shirk it.
Boy.
I dreamed away the best years of my life. It seemed like only this morning I went up into the mountain. No word of warning, just her usual curse. I hated the house with her nagging and shouting. But to be in this strange world is a thousand times worse. Where are the men?
The man has lost his friends.
That I used to sport with.
He doesn't even have a house anymore.
And what has become of my beautiful town?
The whole town? Which one was this? Dresden?
The wolf, my old friend.
I think this is his pooch.
Even you don't know me.
Oh, that's tough. That's difficult.
This must be the end.
It's over for David Bromberg.
My house is tumbled down.
Mishki, you'll broadcast AM 1500 KSTP. It's a glorious evening. All's well with the world. No complaints on this end. German police are asking for help in tracking down thieves who stole a roller coaster. stuff didn't happen years ago. I started in radio in 1992. There were no stories like this. And all of a sudden, somewhere along, I think the first one was when they stole a bridge in Bosnia. Someone in Bosnia stole an entire bridge. And then others started to appear. Now someone took a roller coaster. See, I was a shoplifter when I was a boy, and I understood that. This just sounds difficult. German cops are looking for some help tracking down thieves who took an entire roller coaster. If you see guys with a roller coaster, that may be the people they're looking for, or it may just be someone else with a roller coaster. This summer, some friends and I were going to steal Valley Fair. We were going to take the whole thing. There was about nine of us. We're in a club. We were going to take Valley Fair and put it in my backyard. Kind of surround it with pine trees so it couldn't be seen from the street. But we were going to take it all. I say we were going to because two of the guys chickened out the other night. And we have some bad backs and we need the help lifting. We were going to take the entire thing, the concessions, the rides, the workers, the parking lot. We're going to change the name only because Valley Fair has to be the worst name in the history of amusement parks. If you can find a worse name, you'd be sure to call it in. But I think that's as lame as it gets. Valley Fair. Same person named that who named Metropolitan Stadium. Metropolitan Sports Center. Municipal Stadium. The Metrodome. Freaking lame naming committee. Anyway, they named Valley Fair. But we didn't take the sign. We didn't like the name. We were going to make our own sign. We were going to call our amusement park something different. I think we were going to go with Steve Glenhofer or something for a name. No, that wasn't it. We were going to go with Big Thrills, Big Chills, Hot Grills, and Wild Hills, and Two-Bit Shills, and Nasty Spills. Something like that. That was a little long, though. But I think instead we went with Preposterous. I just dig that name. For an amusement park, preposterous. You just arrive at the gate and you see that and you think, this is going to be interesting. Look at that. Preposterous. Preposterous park. A peek into the unshackled madness of amusement. Preposterous park. You don't like it? You prefer Valley Fair, do you? Valley Fair. There's Dream World in Australia, the Enchanted Kingdom in the Philippines, Galaxy Land in Canada, Mystery Park in Switzerland, and we have Valley Fair. It's like the name of a boring street in Fridley. Valley Fair Road. Just down Valley Fair Road there you'll find the folks you're looking for. Look, there's Lois and Ted now. Hi, you two. Hey, nice work on the lawn. Hey, is that a new fanny pack, Ted? How long you been on Valley Fair Drive here? But then you go out to Valley Fair, and it looks like Valley Fair. I remember being shocked growing up with the Minnesota State Fair and then making my first trip out to Valley Fair. You go to the State Fair and, oh, what's the word? It's gritty. It's diverse. Well, it's a sweaty mix of humanity and humanity in all its shapes, colors, and perversions. And you get out to Valley Fair, and I don't know where they went to. They went to Leave It to Beaver Country to find their workers. They went to a valley. They went to a Valley Fair, and they grabbed these people in knickers, young blonde children. And they cleaned them up with soap, with ivory soap. And they put them to work. And there wasn't so much as a little piece of litter. I think it's for people who got scared at the State Fair of leather. People who went to the State Fair and just couldn't handle... they just didn't want to see someone in Harley garb. So they went out to Valley Fair, where everyone was clean and buttoned up. Freshly scrubbed. They have a scrubber at Valley Fair, a guy whose job it is to scrub all the workers. And the workers don't like it, because they go into a little room, and there's this guy, but he's a nice man, good Christian man. He scrubs them.
Get out of that outfit. Scrubbing time.
What the heck's going on here?
What time is it? 6:29, huh? Yeah, 6:29. You know what 6:30 means? We're almost to 6:30. I think I'll just
hang
go
on.
Early.
I'm still getting plugged in here.
All right, we're a little early.
Yes, you were, but that's okay.
I should have called you the alligator. There's so many alligators now. Wildcat isn't working as well. I should have called you the gator. The gator. And now, with rock solid, rock bottom, bottom of the hour news, it's a gator. Alligator.
I suppose you could change it.
Nope, too late.
I think everybody is sort of what? Become used to. They've well, acclimated they sure to wildcats.
I don't have an alligator sound of it. What do they sound like? Is it something like that? I don't know what
that
alligator
sounds. Probably sounds
like
a little more like a gator.
What you been looking at on the old computer? Well, anything interesting?
I had to do it very rapidly before I give you the, what do you call this?
Multiple choice news?
Yeah, you called it something else. News roulette.
News roulette, yeah. I still like that.
I almost said rotunda there for a bit. Grand Casino is bringing us this multiple choice news roulette. Obit.
Thanks, Grand Casino.
Obit Coppertone artist, beach umbrella, unmarried couples, or buy a nap. Or I
see,
can tell
I didn't
you
know where the spaces were between those words, so it either could be one
them
story, or give me commas, or say things like this, full stop. I used to like it when I saw those movies where the British guys were reading a telegram, full stop.
Maybe I should just rearrange them and then read it all as if it were one sentence.
Okay, sure. However you'd like, I'm easy.
Obit Coppertone, artist, unmarried couples, buy a nap, beach umbrella.
I like Coppertone.
Well, the woman who created the Coppertone girl, we're all familiar with that.
Yeah.
Has passed away. There you go. That's the story.
You know what
she
I do?
She was 88.
I'd put her upside down in her casket and I'd drop her drawers slightly.
Wasn't it a little dog, like a little schnauzer that had kind of caught the back swimsuit area and was pulling it down?
Yeah, but that's just a little fun humor with this woman. That's what the woman created, right? She had the dog pulling the swimsuit of the little girl down.
It was actually her daughter, Sherry Brand, who served as the model. Painting
and her name was actually Brand. She was born for this.
She really was when you think about it. Yeah, the artist was Joyce Ballantine Brand, who was 88.
And she's dead.
And her daughter, Sherry Brand, who's now 49. She was 3 years old in 1959 when her mother painted her as the now infamous Coppertone girl. Painting shows a mischievous black puppy pulling down a little blonde girl's swim trunk bottoms.
It seemed all so innocent back then. And later on, of course, there were some calls from parents and the ads were removed.
Yes, I believe
the dog turned out to be an old man in a dog outfit.
The pedo puppy. I believe that Jodie Foster was a Coppertone girl in her youth.
What? Why would there be the need for more than one? You mean they...
Well, not on the billboards, not that painting per se, but they kind of took that, ran with it with TV. I remember as a young girl, they had TV ads, and Jodie Foster actually more or less portrayed this Sherry Brand in the TV ads. I'm 4 to 6 years old. If you ever see Jodie Foster on, let's say, Conan or Late Night or something, occasionally they will pull out that old film clip and show it.
I still think, unless the family objects, well, flip her upside down in the casket at the wake and just drop the drawers slightly there. And hopefully there is a little tan line. Actually, I'm just looking now online at this ad, the original ad. And I see the dog there, but if you look closely, and I don't know that Coppertone wanted this out, on the girl, just above the waist there, you see a little bit of what can only be melanoma. A little bit of melanoma.
Well, wasn't that tattoo that all the girls seemed to have right above the butt crack?
That's what they wanted us to believe. The conspiracy theorists say that is melanoma. And we knew back then, just like the tobacco companies knew about the dangers, but nobody was saying anything. And the same kid who's featured there, we obviously just mentioned what her mother did. Her father shot Kennedy. Killed Jack.
They're steeped in history. Mm-hmm. I had no idea.
What was the other word you said? There were other words, but there's one in particular now in those list of words. Give me another word, because there was another one that...
Beach umbrella?
I was attracted to beach umbrella with Coppertone. Is it related?
No, the only relation is that this woman was injured on the beach, and you might use Coppertone on the beach, but that's a stretch.
How was she injured?
Woman beamed by lifeguard's beach umbrella gets a $200,000 settlement.
Oh.
A woman injured by lifeguard's flying beach umbrella settled her case against New York State for $200,000. The woman says the umbrella torpedoed into her head.
Phyllis, and stuck there?
I don't know. I'll keep reading. It'll be a surprise to both of us. Phyllis Caliano Baja says she suffered permanent nerve damage after being beamed by the umbrella at a state park 7 years ago. Civil court judge found the park lifeguards negligent in leaving the umbrella up in gusty winds. Apparently, she's not walking around with this big beach umbrella still stuck in her noggin, but did some serious damage.
Yeah, and if you find that beach umbrella, and I believe it's still at the beach because that wasn't damaged.
Now I would like to tell you.
It says Phyllis's brain was here. What was that?
A personal story. Today I was out doing some shopping at a major store that you would recognize, known far and wide. I noticed they had a little placard up, and they were advertising emergency radios that are Red Cross approved. But I want you to know that they were spelling emergency, and this wasn't a handwritten sign in some neighborhood that's predominantly some other population. Emergency spelled E-M-E-R. G-A-N-C-Y.
All right. I opted
not to buy that radio.
Where is this Walmart?
It wasn't a Walmart.
Oh, shoot. I was praying it was.
It was not a Walmart.
Oh, I was praying. I wanted so badly to be a Walmart. I'm almost thinking of grabbing the Walmart sign and putting it on this store. Well, what the heck store was it? I thought for sure you were saying Walmart when you said that.
No, it was not a Walmart.
Well, come on, we can bust them. Who's misspelling that word?
All right, it was Bed Bath & Beyond.
What the hell's that? Never heard of it.
Well, it's a store that sells bedding, sells bathware, linens, towels, shower curtains, and everything beyond.
Well, that's including
Red Cross approved
radios.
Emergency radios.
Yeah. Why do I have a feeling they're already preset to CCO, though? They probably force you to listen to those jackasses.
I would have been thinking I would have swiped some batteries from the nearby end cap, put them in the radio, and checked it out myself.
Well, let's give the location, because people who work there might be listening, and that should be changed. I grew up in a family of English majors and journalists, and I know my brothers would be proud of me if I corrected this. I'm also one of the worst spellers in the world. That's why I'm in radio as opposed to my brothers, but my dad was a spelling champ, state spelling champ, and I think they'd want me to do this for the Mishki name. Where is the joint?
Egan.
The Egan Bed Bath Scented Soap Candle and Fufu joint is misspelling emergency, and it's not a handmade sign. There's a place on University Avenue I like to visit called Signorama. You ever seen it?
Oh, I drive past it every day.
I like to go there sometimes and have signs made. Maybe you want to head over to Signorama and get that fixed up. That's an option.
Mishki, AM 1500, KSTP.
woman left her friend as security at a gas station after running out of money, and then never came back. The 20-year-old told the attendant she would drive to the nearest cash machine and get the cash and come back, and she'd leave her friend as a sort of a security deal till she returned. But she never came back. But did she ever return? No, she never returned, and her fate is still unlearned. She may drive forever somewhere in Bavaria. That's where this was, right? Germany somewhere? Yeah. She's a woman who never returned. Let me tell you a story about a gal named Maria on that tragic and fateful day. The friend sat there and waited and waited and waited, but finally the gas station owner looked at her and said, "You've been ditched, and I've been ditched, and I've been ditched by someone who took my gas without paying." Now, this friend who was waiting was forced to take a bus back to her home. Her quote, "We've not been friends for long. We met at a party, and this was the first time we'd gone anywhere together. I can't believe she just left me there." That's a friend. Tell you what, I'll go to a cash machine. I'll take the car and the full tank that I have, but because that sounds suspicious, I'll leave my pal here as sort of what you call a sort of collateral quasi-security deal, okay? That way you know I'm coming back because she's riding with me. And the friend said, "Yeah, she wouldn't leave me. She's my friend." Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you got to do is call, and I'll be there, yes, I will. Or maybe not, but still, you got a friend, sorta, kinda, yeah. You've got a friend. Quasi-deal, kind of a short-lived thing, but when you're down, when you're stranded, and you find you're out of cash, and nothing, no, nothing is going right. Listen up here, people. Wait right here at this counter, for soon I will return. Actually, now that I think about it, I may just continue on my way. Well, let me tell you something, honey. Winter, spring, summer, or fall, feel free to give me a call, and I'll be there, yes, I will. Wait a minute. Actually, I won't, but still, you got a friend, kinda. You got a friend, kinda, sorta, not really, but you got a friend. This is a heartwarming story of the tight bond that can exist between two human beings. You could bag that. I noticed Joe doesn't speak with a smile. Souchere. Why is that? And why did Brian Lambert of the St. Paul paper refer to him periodically in articles as Smiling Joe Souchere? I have other questions. That whole Warren Commission report. What the f... I mean, you know what I'm saying there? Mishki for the Spectacle Shop, 1 mile north of 694 on Silver Lake Road and a mile and a half from downtown St. Paul on Robert Street, just up the hill. You walk in, A, you see more frames than you'll see anywhere else. And I'm not talking the kind pictures go in. Although, you'll be a picture, if I can say that, wearing a pair of specs from the Spectacle Shop. You'll be something to see, something frameable. People will say about you, boy, if I had my camera with me, that sort of thing. You don't believe me? Vintage frames from the 20s, 30s, 40s, and beyond. European styles you've never seen before. Styles you've never seen because the owner goes home at night and makes eyeglass frames. He makes them with a router and a rotor and a router and a rented
Reginator. And he makes him and he brings him in the next day. He says, what do you think? And a panel of judges says, good there, bad there. Don't know what's going on there. Elton John wouldn't wear those. Chuck that. Dame Edna would love that. Boom, 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 boom. And there they are. And he sells them. 1 hour service, all the stuff you find anywhere else. But they know more there because they're actually licensed. In many states, you have to be licensed to make eyeglasses. You're being given a prescription, after all. In Minnesota, you don't have to be. We don't care. You could be a prison guard and be making them. But this guy decided, screw it. I'm going to learn and get licensed. I'm going to know what I'm doing. Over a quarter of a century in business. Over a quarter century in business. Spectacle shop.
Mishki, in the nighttime, on AM 1500 KSTP.
AM 1500 KSTP.
Shouting, Allah is great, shoots five at Turkish consul. Five judges were wounded, two seriously, when a gunman shouted, Allah is great, and opened fire. I wonder why you need to mention that just before shooting people. God's great. Oh, and forget about that part. But by the way, God's great. I mean, what's the relationship? I don't understand it. Just a side note here, God's great. Okay. Why don't they say, God's great, but I'm kind of goofy. And just add a... Okay, we know God's great, but what's your point? God is great, but I'm kind of goofy. God is great, but I'm feeling goofy. God is great, but he made me goofy. What the heck's a fella to do? Just thought I'd mention God is great, and I'm kind of nutty. Sorry to have to blow you up, buddy. The shrinks ought to make me part of some study. But until then, did I mention God's great? God is great, but I'm kind of goofy. God is... Why do they say that? God's great. Okay, how's Uncle Dave doing? What's he up to before you blow up? Is Dave cool? God is great, but I'm off the meds. The psych ward, it was running out of beds. I'm just doing my part so Islam spreads. Of course, it's losing a believer today. Another Muslim's getting blown away, but God's great. God is great. I'm kind of goofy. God is great, but I'm feeling kind of goofy. God is great, but he made me goofy. What the heck's a fella to do, everybody? God is great. I'm kind of nutty. Sorry that I gotta blow you up, buddy. The shrinks ought to make me part of their study. Until then, did I say God's great? I think I covered that. Bam! God is great, but I'm off the meds, and the soccer board's running right out of beds. Just doing my part to spread the good word. And have you heard? Have you heard? It's the word. God is super dee duper.
See, I don't think anybody argues with that. That's why I don't think they're, as they go around the world, I don't think they really need to mention, you know, don't blow that out. I'm not arguing with you. God is great. No argument here. We didn't say he wasn't. Put the freaking bomb away. We like him too. In the next half hour, the remaining half hour of the show will be, do we have a giveaway tonight? No? We won't be giving anything away? No contest? Well, hell with it then. Gee, I thought we've had one almost every night for, well, since I got into radio. What's, are we having one ever
again? We have, what's the date? Today's the 16th. I think we're giving some away next week.
We have a visitor. That's what that just reminded me. We have, I haven't played that in a long time. Remember that? We have a visitor. Where is that? Tom, why are you looking for that? I don't know. I haven't heard it in a while. Do we even... Maybe that's because we don't have it anymore. What happened to our... we have a visitor sounder. Oh, it's gone. Oh, play it.
We have a visitor...
That's back when we used to have guests. We used to have a visitor, and that thing would announce it. What did you say now, Speed? When are we giving them away, or what?
Next week, all week.
Oh, all week next week. Okay, we'll give things away. KSTP, good old St. Paul, and the big time, Minneapolis. Coming up on 7, ABC News has an update. Stick around, I'll return.
From ABC News. I'm Joel Gross. The Senate is going along with the House in calling for a fence between the U.S. and Mexico. The House bill calls for one 700 miles long. Today, the Senate passed a measure calling for one about half that length. Iowa Republican Congressman Steve King says both are a mite short.
We need to build a wall, and I'm submitting it being a 12-foot-high concrete wall, 2,000 miles long, for the cost of $500,000 a mile.
Democratic Senator Richard Durbin thinks that would be quite a waste of money.
What fence is it that we will build that can be tunneled under, that you can't go over or around? Is this really going to be an effective deterrent?
Well, it would put quite a crimp in people coming in illegally, but it would not stop illegal immigration. About a third of those in the U.S. illegally got to the States on a visa and just never went back. July 30th, 1975, the last time anyone saw Teamsters President Jimmy Hoffa alive. And every so often since then, the FBI digs up some property somewhere in hopes of finding his remains. They're digging now in Milford Township, Michigan, but so far no Hoffa. The first day of deliberations done in the trial of former Enron bosses Kenneth Lay and Jeffrey Skilling. Defense lawyer Daniel Petrocelli in Houston says he's got to play the waiting game now, and it is not a game he especially likes.
Right now at 67 at the talk station, let's return to Mishki.
Now, broadcasting from the inner city tarmac of University Avenue, it's Mishki.
Are you fat? You answer the question yes or no, are you? If you're not fat, what would you rather be than fat? Nearly half of the people responding to a survey about obesity said last week they'd rather give up a year of their life than be fat. I'm not even close to done. The study by the Rudd Center for Food Policy and Obesity at Yale found that of 4,000 respondents, close to a majority would rather walk away from their marriage than be fat. Wow! Some would give up the possibility of having children if the option otherwise was being fat. Some said they'd rather be depressed or become alcoholic rather than be fat. 5% said they'd rather lose a limb than get fat. 4% said they'd rather be blind than be overweight. The study is published in the journal Obesity. It's a large journal. This is stunning. This is shocking. This is astonishing. This is you'd rather be shorter on life expectancy, walk away from a swell marriage, give up on having kids, become a depressed alcoholic, than be fat, even lose a limb, and go blind. Why don't you just say it, people? You'd rather be dead. Why don't you just admit it? You'd rather be dead. Tortured first, then killed. Yeah, killed with a steel mallet to the back of the head like a bull in a slaughterhouse. Say it, people. Well, what if I told you that they have clothes now that fit fat people? In other words, you don't have to walk around naked. I'm not sure these people understand what they're saying. What if I were to tell you that some people who are fat still have friends who like them, and they visit and talk to other people and have dinners with other people, and yet they're fat? What if I were to tell you that a couple of fat people historically have been not only happy but joyful? Would that make a difference at all? What if I were to tell you people that the private country clubs no longer have the thin people only signs on the doors? Well, would this change anything? I'm not sure you know what you're saying, people. What have you been told about being fat? Being fat must be positively terrifying. I'd rather have years taken off my life expectancy. I'd walk away from my marriage. I'd give up the kids. I'd sell the kids. I'd become a depressed alcoholic and have my limbs cut off and go blind. It's pretty much anything but fat, right? I mean, what's left? You'd rather be dead. Here's a troubling story if you're, screw it. It's just a troubling story. An appeals court today ordered a teenage sex offender to warn the parents of anyone he dates about his conviction right up until he turns 18. Lawyers with New Jersey Office of the Public Defender, which represented the youth, said they're going to appeal to the state Supreme Court. They don't want their client to have to tell parents of women he wants to date that he's a sex offender. Teenage sex offender. This ruling upheld an earlier ruling. The three-judge panel said that the restriction placed on the teen did not violate the state's juvenile code or circumvent Megan's Law. Megan's Law establishes a registration and notification system for sex offenders. The law is named for 7-year-old Megan Kanka, New Jersey girl who was killed in 1994 by a twice convicted sex offender. This guy is, how old did I say he was? A defendant pleaded guilty in 2004 to committing a sex act against a 6-year-old. Okay, he was 14 then, so 16 now. His name and hometown have not been released because of rules protecting youthful offenders, but the court ruled that he has to tell the parents of any girl he dates until he's 18. I'm just going to throw this out as a little advice to the man, young man. I just wouldn't date till 18, cowboy. I don't know what parents are going to okay that date once you spill the beans there. Hi, Mr. and Mrs. Wilson. I mean, I don't know how much... you can Eddie Haskell the hell out of this thing. I just don't know that it's going to work. Mr. and Mrs. Wilson, you're looking lovely. I'd like to take your daughter to the prom, if that's all right with you. Prom's coming up. Sure like to take her to the prom. She sure is a beauty. Looks a lot like you, Mrs. Wilson. Well, it's nice of you to say, young man. You want to take our daughter to the prom? That's swell. She says she'd like to attend the prom with you, and we're fine with that. But we would like to know a little bit about you. Ted, we've never met before, and we don't know much about you. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself, huh? Well, sure, Mr. Wilson. I like baseball. I'm in the chess club. Let's see, I'm a sex offender. I have a 3.4 GPA. My parents are both professionals. Whoa, whoa, son. Easy. There was something in there that sounded odd. What did you say right after mentioning the chess club? Oh, God. Marge, did you hear that? What was that right after the chess club? Son? Oh, after the chess club? I don't remember. Let's see. I said, I like baseball. I'm in the chess club. I'm a sex offender. I have a 3.4. Stop right there, son. You're a sex offender? Oh, yeah. Yeah, is that going to be a problem? Denise, go up to your room. Your mother and I are going to walk this young man to the door. Oh, golly. What did I say? What? I'm sorry, Ted. We have a rule in our household that our daughter cannot date sex offenders. We also have a rule that she can't have a bunch of babies out of wedlock and is never to rob convenience stores or mate with a pony. Those are our rules. Sorry. That inconveniences you. Oh, yeah, I'd wait till 18 to date. Just, I don't know, find something else to do for a while. That's okay. 18. Date after 18, that's fine.
Mishki, AM 1500, KSTP.
Surgery. I got too cute. My insides. security. I've been in the wrong place, but it must have been the right time. I've been in the right place, but it must have been the wrong song. I've been in the right thing, but it seems like a wrong on. I've been in the right world, but it seems like a wrong, 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 wrong.
KSTP. I was just looking at a news story here. Boy, that's quite a... California home sells for $75 million. Southern California oceanfront home will break a record if it does sell for its asking price, $75. 30,000 square feet. Custom-built estate. Yeah, it's a trophy home, says Kerry Williams. A realtor? Oh, it's a trophy home. Oh, so it's not a real home, then. It's just a trophy home. California home for sale for $75 million. That would break the record. That would break the record. Apparently, a house sold in Palm Beach, Florida for $70 million last year. $75 million. Trophy home. Yep, they say it's a trophy home. Not an actual living situation type of deal. It's not a shelter. No, they're not selling it as shelter. It's a trophy. It's not a put a roof over your head situation. Just pulling into my trophy home now. There she be. What do you think, sweetheart, huh? Trophy home. There's the trophy garage. Now, you can't go near there. You can just look. But as we walk inside the house, notice my trophy kitchen to the left. I keep it enclosed in glass. Yeah. That's close enough, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. See, it's not an ordinary kitchen. You're thinking it's an ordinary kitchen. No, it's a trophy kitchen. And if you play your cards right, you know, you could end up being my trophy wife for all of my trophy life. There are worse gigs, Angel, believe me. Like being a real wife. Let me tell you, reality blows, kiddo. Reality is cleaning bathrooms, doing laundry. Reality is a snot-nosed kid and diapers. Reality is for losers, baby. Yeah, you want to live in Trophy Town, Tinkerbell, that's where you want to live with me. Look over there are my trophy cars. No, don't touch them. You can't drive them. You can just look at them. Just look at them, honey. They're trophies. The record U.S. home sale price posted last year. Ron Perlman sold his Palm Beach, Florida home for $70 million. That house sold for that much because it had a nice yard and a finished basement. It had a really nice yard and a finished basement. That's why that was $70 million. $70 million, that had closet space. That's what made that one attractive. A lot of closet space. So $70 million wasn't out of the question there. Oh, and it had a fireplace, which was nice. Plus it had that new car smell. Which is odd for a house, but that's what made it unique. That's what made it worth $70 million. Now, you can't get a house with a new car smell. It was unique. This is a very unique place. All the walls were made of grizzly bear fur. Unique features like that, they jack the price up. Yeah. Unique features sell a house, really sell a place. The bedroom came with bed sheets made from the Shroud of Turin. Very, very unique house. I don't want a trophy house, just one with an honorable mention ribbon. And I don't want a trophy wife, and those that do, they got to be kidding. 'Cause this ain't no trophy life. Come down off the mantle and start a living. I don't want no trophy wife. Just a girl with an honorable mention ribbon. What are you people looking for? You got 3 minutes to call and tell me. 651-646-TALK. 651-829-344-2266. Yeah, I've really wanted to do this since I started in January.
traffic at 7:30. Hi, gang. Mishki here, your 7:30 traffic guy. Minnesota 100 from I-494 to I-394. It's fine. Yeah. I-94 from 494 at 694 to the I-35W split there. It's fine. Everything's jank. I-35E, all the roads are good. The streets are good. The alleys are good. Everything's good. Ow!
Tommy, how are you?
Good. Are you good?
I'm good, too. I'm feeling a little sorry for that person we talked to, or you were talking to before. A lot of places to go where she can get taken care of, I'm sure.
Actually, no, Al, there aren't. But it's nice of you to hope that there would be. There's a guy out front waiting with a $20 bill right now who wants to hand it to me for her. If we get just a few more of those guys, we'll have the $10,000.
Well, I think there's organizations that'll help her. I'm sure, like, the Lions Club is really heavy into that kind of stuff.
Well, I'm going to call the Lions Club. I'm going to try to talk to those people, talk to some fire departments, and talk to, well, I'd actually just like to talk to some rich guy. You know any rich people, Al?
No. Yeah. Well, I do, but...
You do?
Well,
you know rich people?
I see
dead people. Al, where are you right now?
I'm just staying in my apartment here in...
Maple Grove.
I'm in Osseo. Osseo, Maple Grove is pretty much the same.
You got to be pretty excited.
I was going to come down and see you yesterday.
Oh, you should have.
I'm not sure what happened.
When's the best time to hook up? By the way, you're still sober, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
When's the best time to hook up?
Anytime.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were working.
Well, in the afternoon, later afternoon.
Yeah, you put in a regular day, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, all right. Well, I got your number, so I just wanted to make sure, because I got the number without knowing when you worked. But you're a 9-to-5-er, pretty much?
It's starting to be that. I'd rather be earlier, but mm-hmm. It's pretty much 9-to-5-er.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thanks, Al. I'll be in touch.
Please call.
All right, I will. I'll get a hold of you, Al. This show's Kaputsky. Benito. Taking a look at the crosstown. There's nothing there. University Avenue has about 5 cars. Over in Prospect Park, they're all in the driveways. People are sitting out front talking. This is when you should be out driving, people. You guys pick the worst times to drive. This is when you want to be out. Highway 8 up near Taylor's Falls. There's one guy. Dave Thompson is next.